This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Call South Dakota Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Apologize for we're a little bit late, but we'll get through this. Welcome, everyone. Welcome all the folks listening to us on the Internet. I would remind everyone to please either turn your cell phones off or put them on wiggle. At this time, I'll ask the Secretary to call roll.
Senators Boland,
aye.
Curd,
here.
Heinert, Langer,
here.
Maher,
here.
Sutton,
here.
Excuse me, Northstrip,
here.
Sutton,
here.
Netherton,
here.
Ewing,
here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion for approval of our last minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Hager, seconded by Senator Curd. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. We will remind all the testifiers to please sign in legibly at the podium. If you have any materials to that you want to provide to the committee, please give them to the pages. At this time, we'll ask our pages to come forward and introduce yourself and let us know what your future plans are.
Hello, I'm Emma Graves. I will be going to Minnesota State University Moorhead and studying anthropology.
Hi, I'm Sydney Powers. I'm from Brookings. I'm going to go to either USD or SDSU and study political science.
Okay, thank you. I understand we also have some visiting classes here, so if you would at this time stand up and introduce yourself and where you're from. Welcome. Okay. With that, we've got five bills on our list here to work today. We'll begin with Senate Bill 120. Title is to repeal the Legislative Planning Committee. And at this time, we will take proponent testimony. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Deb Peters, State Senator, District 9. I represent Hartford, Humboldt, Crooks, and the northwest corner of Sioux Falls. Senate Bill 120 kind of speaks for itself. The title does exactly what it is. We put this bill in and was passed by the legislature a number of years ago with an intent for the legislature to have a long-term overview and prospective look at what some of the big picture goals that the legislature could come up with. Since it has been put in, however, it has become more of a performance management review process. We have two committees already in the legislative process that does look at this. We have the Appropriations Committee and we have Government Operations and Audit. Appropriations is set forth in their duties by the Constitution, and Government Operations and Audit is a statutorily created committee that already does these types of things. You can view what the Legislative Planning Committee has done over the number of years. They do put through a bunch of reports. They report to the Executive Committee on these reports, but basically they look through at agencies and come up with, according to the website, they say they review executive agencies, compile parts of the committee performance management review process. Each report contains agencies' policies, goals with accompanying performance indicators, and a brief explanation of the indicators. Again, that was not the original intent of our Legislative Planning Committee. It was to look forward, look prospectively for long-term legislative goals. It is not accomplishing that goal, and I think we can do what they're doing with current resources, with current committees and statute. I don't think we need a third. And so that is why I would ask for your support on Senate Bill 120.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 120. Further proponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Well, I feel a little saddened today. I feel like I'm shooting my own dog here. The idea of the Legislative Planning Committee came from me And it was an effort to balance a little bit of the inequity between the legislative branch and the executive branch, which has become, as I've served here for 9 years, become obvious that there's an inherent inequity. And the Long Range Planning Committee was an effort for us as a legislature to do some analysis, review long-range planning in an effort to be more on par with the executive branch and what they do year-round.
Sir, could I have you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry.
Just for the record?
David, I'm sorry. Representative David Lust, District 34. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the long-range planning committee started out in that vein. There was some very helpful information and studies prepared by that committee. However, I think it's morphed into something that wasn't originally intended. And frankly, given term limits, I don't know that it's viable to ask the legislature to really look long-term and do things long-term, because many of the members and stalwarts of that committee are no longer here. I'm supportive of this concept. I would, you know, if the committee wants to discuss the issue and what we can do as a legislature to be more on equal par with the executive branch, if this isn't the vehicle, perhaps there's others. But what it's become is not what it was intended, and so therefore I do support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 120. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, we will open it up for opponent testimony. Opponent testimony, Senate Bill 120. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions, discussion, or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Question. Chairman. I just have a question for maybe the prime sponsor. Curious if you served on the committee or if you could, how were the members selected for the committee? If you could remind me a little bit of the history of that or the current, who's serving on it now? What are some of the goals of what they're doing this year?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Senator Deb Peters, District 9. Some of the members are Senator Haverly on the Senate side. So you have Senator Haverly, Senator Kamak. I don't know all of the members. I did talk to the current members. The previous chairs have actually been term limited out. So how you get on the committee, your president pro tem in the Senate and the Speaker of the House appoints people. Once you've been appointed, it's for the rest of your term, whether it's for the rest of the time that you serve in the legislature. So if you stay in the House for 8 years and you're appointed as a freshman first year, it's for the whole 8 years. That's my understanding of how that works. But because of turnover and term limits, some of the original folks appointed to the members have been termed out and are no longer serving.
Okay, Mr. Chair, you. I have a question for Senator Peters before she steps away.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peters, at one time, did this legislative planning get a new mission then? Are they doing something with the regents? I thought I read that someplace. I've been out for a couple of years, and I thought they were doing something with the regents here or something like that.
Go ahead.
Thank you for the question. There was a bill brought for Legislative Planning Committee to review financial statements and fees for the Board of Regents. That bill has passed, I believe, off of House Committee, off the House floor. It was amended to not reference legislative planning. The Legislative Planning Committee actually amended it themselves to send it to Government Operations and Audit.
Okay. Further questions? Senator Boland.
Thank you. Is this more just a time for discussion or comment? Is that...
Pardon me?
Is it the time only for questions?
No. Any of the above.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have a question for the prime sponsor, but I just would like to make a brief comment that I'm fully supportive of this bill, the repeal. And I think we just need to keep in mind that first of all, we only serve two-year terms here, the whole legislature. That means there can be 100% turnover every 2 years. There may not be, but we have a big turnover as it is. Our ability to plan long range is very minimal. The great power of the legislature, it must be always guarded and it must always be kept almost in a sacred fashion, is the power of the purse. That's the great power of the legislature. The executive branch cannot move forward without resources, and we're the part of the government that allocates the money that goes to both the judicial and the executive branches. So I think this was a well-intended idea, but I think it, in a sense, it's almost inherently contradictory to the way that the governmental process is designed to work. So to my fellow legislators, let's make sure we hold on to the power of the purse very tightly and very intently. I think that this is a necessary bill that will repeal something that's changed from its original function. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Kerr, do you have a question?
No, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I move to pass Senate Bill 120.
Okay. We have a motion for due pass from Senator Kerr, second from Senator Netherton. Is there discussion on the motion?
I have a couple, Mr. Chair, and unfortunately Representative Lust left, so he'll have to listen to the audio recording. But one of the things that I've always tried to emulate in leaders that I admire, whether they be legislative or in business, is the ability and the desire to try new things. And the second characteristic, which I think is equally as important, is to recognize when those things aren't working and then to abandon them and go in a different direction. And it's really refreshing for me to see Representative Lust here talking about an idea that was good in concept but hasn't really turned out the way that he had envisioned it. And as such, he saw the necessity to make the change and remove it from what we do here in the legislature. We don't have enough leaders that are willing to shoot their own dog, so I appreciate Representative Lust bringing that to us today for consideration, and also Senator Peters for being the prime sponsor in the Senate, and I think it's a great testament to what leadership looks like.
Okay. Senator Sutton, you had a discussion on the motion.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm also going to ask you to support the motion. Similar comments in that I was a supporter of this when it first came around, and actually I was one of the first members on the Legislative Planning Committee. And the intent and the overarching goal of it, while very good, I think created more confusion and challenges than anything that as you saw turnover, that we just couldn't continue to address. You would have new members constantly that were trying to catch up with the things that we were talking about and doing. And you even saw people going off the committee that were still in the legislature that maybe didn't want to be on it anymore because several of us felt like we weren't heading in the right direction or we weren't actually doing anything. It seemed like we were just spinning our wheels so often. So with that in mind, I think it's important that, for lack of a better term, we don't waste folks' time with a committee that maybe isn't getting things done that we need to get done or that are helping the process. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments or discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second to do pass for Senate Bill 120. Secretary will call a roll. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senator Bolin?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Netherton?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
We have 9 yeas.
Okay, we have a unanimous decision. Do pass for Senate Bill 120. We'll go on down to the floor. Next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 151. I am going to defer that to a later date. So we will take up Senate Bill 176. Title is to accommodate legislation relating to the protection of the public safety. And at this time, I will ask for a proponent testimony. Proponent testimony on Senate Bill 176. Seeing none, I will offer for opponent testimony. Senate Bill 176, opponent testimony. Seeing none, we will close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for discussion or action.
Mr. Chair, This was placed in our docket at the request of the governor's office as they're developing some legislation that deals with public safety and the protection of the people of the state of South Dakota. And as they develop that, they just simply ask us to move this bill along. So with that, I would ask the committee's approval.
Second. Is that a do-pass motion?
No, I was just making comments. I haven't made a motion.
Okay. Senator Langer.
I would make a motion to pass on Senate Bill 176.
Okay, we have a motion of due pass by Senator Langer and seconded by Senator Curd. Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Heiner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will support this this motion, this bill, but I would just urge our committee, and then when it gets to the floor, let's keep this on the Senate side, not send it over before there is body to the bill. So with that, thank you.
Okay, further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a do pass motion and a second on Senate Bill 176. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay.
Senators Boland?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Netherton?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
We have 9 yeas.
Okay, we have a unanimous motion of due pass for Senate Bill 176. We'll go on down to the floor. And it's my understanding that SCR 8, our next item on the agenda, has been withdrawn. Am I correct in that?
Mr. Chair, I don't know that it's been withdrawn, but I'm going to make a tabling motion just to make sure. Okay. I would move that SCR Resolution Number 8 is move tabling on that.
Okay, we have a motion by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Curd, to table SCR 8. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion. Okay. Tabling motion. Correct. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay.
Senators Boland?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Netherton?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
We have 8 yeas, 1 nay.
Okay, SCR 8 has been tabled. Next item on the agenda is SCR 10. Title is Recognizing South Dakota's Need to Protect and Preserve the Clean Waters of the Missouri River and Expressing Opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline. At this time, we will take proponent testimony. Senator Heiner.
Senator Killer is on his way. He's in another committee right now, so if you could... Okay, give him a little latitude, please.
We'll just take a few minutes here. I see we had another class show up. If you would like to stand up and introduce yourselves, tell us where you're from. We welcome you to your great state capital. We'll just kind of be at recess here for a few minutes to let our testifiers have time to get here. Ladies and gentlemen, we will come back to order. Sometimes you get a scheduling conflict. You have a prime sponsor that has to be in two different places at the same time. That's what we had happen here. We are accepting proponent testimony at this time. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kevin Killer, state senator from District 27, Pine Ridge. Basically, we have the I'm proposing Senate Concurrent Resolution 10, which is, I'll pull it up here really quick. Sorry, I was getting out of health committee, so. Okay. So basically, what we're asking in this resolution is support from the Senate on this resolution opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline that's going through North Dakota. And there's primarily a few reasons why, you know, outside of what you might have read and all that. And I was in communication with a well-known international artist this morning. He's in the music industry, and you know, he's going on TV actually right now and talking about some of these issues. And you know, and I wanted to convey to him that, you know, basically this kind of boils down to our tribes, which is known as collectively as the Ochetee Shakowee Seven Nations, and our communities, which is abrogated from treaty lands through the 1851-1868 treaty. And this pipeline actually kind of crosses into those areas. And, you know, part of the debate, I guess, that's going on is, you know, looking at the ability of states to access these kind of pipelines versus the rights of landowners, tribal members, and just the environment in general, you know. And I think it's I think it's just as the resolution reads, it says, whereas these water systems, tens of thousands of South Dakotans, hundreds of thousands of domestic livestock and wildlife receive their life-sustaining clean water from the Missouri River. The Missouri River is also a foundation of a thriving outdoor recreational economy for the state, which is, you know, preserving our ecosystems, which is really valuable, especially living in rural South Dakota. You know, we all depend on that. District 27 depends on that. The Minnewachoni water system actually depends on this. And, you know, I spoke with our former president, John Yulbert Steele, about making sure that, you know, this, if there's a leak, you know, he has within his authority to protect the citizens who depend on that water system. And that includes non-native members, you know. And I really, I'm just, you know, really, you know, I just really, really want people to think about that, because it's important that you know, we protect our environment, you know, at all costs and whatever means. And I know there's technology out there, but I think one of the biggest things that we realize is that anything man-made breaks, you know. I mean, I can't think of anything else in this world that's man-made and hasn't broke, you know. And I think with the technology that's kind of afforded to us, there's been a lot of leaks in the past for a lot of these pipelines. There, you know, we have documented leaks that happened in South Dakota, and we've also had, you know, I just think it's really bad economic development. So, I just want to make sure that, you know, we get this out there, this issue out there. And I think with the committee process, we hear other resolutions and they get passed on. So, just, you know, let us have that right and let us have that issue to do this. So I'm sorry I'm not as prepared on this, because I thought this was going to be later on the agenda the way I read it. So I don't know why it was kind of moved up so quick. But that's what I was anticipating. So, Mr. Chair, I'll stand by for committee questioning, and hopefully I'll be a little bit have some more information.
It is our last item on the agenda.
Okay.
It just kind of went quick here this morning. But so we've got plenty of time, so no need to apologize.
Okay.
Further proponent testimony, SCR 10. Further proponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26 from Mission. So, you know, we've all been through this process that we try to make statements or we bring resolutions. And I don't want to lose fact the importance of this resolution. So Western South Dakota, predominantly Southwestern South Dakota, really survives on the Miniwichoni pipeline. That's our source of water. Now, where I live on the northern tip of the Oglala Aquifer, and so my house is actually hooked to Miniwichoni, but my corrals are watered out of the Oglala Aquifer. All the communities north of me, White River, Presho, Murdo, Kadoka, clear down to Pine Ridge, depend on that Miniwichoni waterline. Now, what is unique about, and why is this important as far as this resolution, the inlet for that waterline is in Lake Oahe. Now, they say, well, if it breaks, water and oil don't mix, they can separate it, they can clean it. Well, the chairman of the Oglala Sioux tribe has said, if it breaks, we will shut down our pumps. They own the water line that feeds these communities, both reservation and non-reservation communities. So if they shut those water inlets down, we have no access to water, period. And that's for people, for livestock, any type of business that requires large amounts of water. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of drinking a glass of iced tea in Murdo in about the mid to 1980s, but you didn't drink iced tea in Murdo in the mid 80s. Their water was pumped from their wells, and the quality wasn't there. Now they have the quality. So, you know, today sitting in the gallery, we have a high school that lives on the river from Mobridge. Well, obviously this line is north of Mobridge. It could have effect on them. The kids sitting to my right are from White River. Their school is hooked to the Miniwichoni waterline. Their houses are hooked to the Miniwichoni waterline. I don't want to take this chance because you don't get a do-over. We have the best water in the world right here in South Dakota. And we've done that through protection. We've been smart about it. To me, we know how Dakota Access, they're right there. All they got to do is go under that river. If you've got enough money to go under a river, then you got enough money to go above a river. And I think that makes way more sense. We're able to spot leaks when they happen, and we know they're going to happen. So I ask that you let this come to the floor. Let's try to remove politics from it, and let's just use common sense. I worry about these kids. I worry about my own kids. I worry about my way of life and all the people who live in southwestern South Dakota, because we don't get a do-over. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony, SCR 10. Further proponent testimony. Okay, seeing none, we will open up for opponent testimony. Opponent testimony on SCR 10. Seeing none, we will close the testimony from the floor and offer it to the committee for questions or discussion. Senator Boland.
question for Senator Killer.
Okay. Ask your question.
Okay. Just letting him get to this right spot. Senator Killer, how close does the Dakota Access Pipeline come to Oglala Lakota County, which you represent? Do you have any idea?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I think it's, well, the Dakota Access Pipeline is in North Dakota, so, and it's proposed to go down, I believe, maybe about 400, maybe I would say roughly 300 miles from our area. But the Missouri River that we do depend on through the Minnewichoni Pipeline, which was a federal project that Senator Daschle helped get through, we depend on that water source. And that comes to a lot of our constituents in Wombly, Kyle, Martin, basically the eastern half of our community.
Okay. Follow-up question.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to get sorted out in my mind. Do you object to the pipeline itself or the substance that's within the pipeline? What is the real objection?
I think the objection is to the manner that in which the substance itself and how it's manufactured, because it's one of the it's extremely hard to extract, you know, and it takes a lot of resources to get that oil up from the pipeline and to it's the source. And I think that's what I'm opposed to. And in addition to that, I think I'm also opposed to the fact that it's not going to help North Dakota in itself. It's going to basically, at the end of this pipeline, it's going to be shipped out for international export. And I think that's one thing that I'm really opposed to. So it's not really helping anybody in North Dakota. It's not helping anybody in South Dakota. And, you know, we're at threat because it's going to go through our, it's going to be a threat to our water source.
And then may I continue on, Mr. Chair?
Further comment?
Thank you. Do you think that with a genuine possibility of leaks, do you think other pipelines that carry other substances should be removed from the ground so that there would be absolutely no chance of any leak below the earth at any time?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that there is technology to help extract it properly. And with the certain kinds of crude that's available, and I know North Dakota itself has a little bit more refined crude than you would say in Canada, where another pipeline project's proposed, which takes a lot more extraction efforts, that the possibility of having a leak anywhere near a water table where 17 million people depend on it downstream is cause for concern.
Okay, and I've got just one last question.
Go ahead.
And then, Senator Killer, are you aware that this pipeline within the boundaries of the state of South Dakota is completely concluded and that it runs like 8 miles from my house?
I wasn't aware that it was that close to your house. But I also know that there was also an oil spill, I think, near your community or somewhere on the eastern part of South Dakota. So, I think if any kind of pipeline runs through any community, there's always a risk of spill or contamination. And, you know, I would say that with the other members living near the other pipeline spill in South Dakota, you know, I think they would be at liberty to say, you know, was it adequately cleaned up?
Okay.
And so,
you
know.
Thank you.
Okay. Further comments? Senator Sutton.
I would maybe appreciate the good senator's comments. I would ask a couple of the same questions of one of the other proponents that is sitting right here as far as, you know, his opposition to whether it's pipelines in general or whether it's the substance in, or give us a little bit more detail on that question as well.
Okay, Senator Heiner, you may answer the question from where you're seated.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator, for the question. I'm not opposed to pipelines. Am I happy about them? No. Am I happy about the process that they use to put them in? No. But what I am concerned about is location. We do not have an oil pipeline going across Lake Oahe right now. The proximity to where we, to where our communities get their water is so close, we can't stop it if it breaks in that section, which is a very dangerous section and which would probably be the weaker points of the pipeline. It has all the water pressure on it. It's, it has more diagonal direction. So every time there's a bend in a pipeline, Mr. Chair, I'm sure you've put in plenty of water lines in, and out in your area. I know I have in mine. And every time there is a bend or a joint, that's where they break. So my concern isn't that I live 380 miles away from Standing Rock. My concern is that oil is going to get to our water intakes before we can stop it. And you can't do anything about it, and we have no access to water without it.
Okay, follow up. Any further questions or discussion? Go ahead, Senator Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And either senator that would choose to give me this information would be wonderful. Within an ideal world, would you transport the oil with a different method, for example, railroad or tanker, or would you leave the oil in the ground? Which would be the preferred solution?
Okay. One of you want to take a answer at that? Senator Heiner?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator, for the question. I guess it kind of depends on, you know, obviously the good senator from Pine Ridge and I have our own personal feelings on it. If we were going to transport it on rail or in trucks, you know, I understand that, and I understand the risk involved with that. If we're going to do it through a pipeline, then let's do it in a way that doesn't have the potential to wreak havoc on our water systems. So, you know, this original pipeline was designed to go above Mandan, North Dakota. It was going to go across North Dakota above Mandan. And their concern was why it was rerouted, because they were concerned for their water supply, for their city. So they move it south of them. Now it becomes our problem. So, you know, I'm a realist. I understand we need to move oil, but I also think we need to do things to protect ourselves first.
Take a quick little break here and allow these students to go to their next destination. Do you have a follow-up, Senator Northrup?
Yes, thank you. And I appreciate the answer, and the way I interpret the answer, and I think I'm interpreting it correctly, is you're not opposed to oil, you're opposed to this particular route and this particular pipeline, where other routes would be acceptable and other transport methods would be acceptable.
Okay, you may answer the question.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, for me personally, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Senator Keller the same question, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the process of oil extraction, you know, it's there. You know, it exists. And, you know, we're not sitting here. This resolution is not going to stop oil extraction, you know, because there's oil in clothes, there's oil in cars we drive, there's oil in everything. I understand that. That's completely fine. But I think, you know, just with the fact of the route itself, when they had the option to go around the river, you know, where they were extracting it from in northern North Dakota, it could have easily been rerouted down and then across, not even near Bismarck. You know, I think that was one of the issues where that came up, where they had processes of public hearings, and they said, well, you know, you either have the option to put it north of Bismarck or south of Bismarck. And that's what caused all the, you know, the debate. And, you know, the I guess Dakota Access hopefully had the process and map laid out, but I'm not opposed to oil extraction, but I just want safer means, as does everybody. So,
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, seeing none, we'll offer for further discussion or action.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a few comments.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Maher.
You know, there's, as we sit here, and where I live is kind of right in up there where it all is, this is all taking place. You know, my legislative district encompasses the southern half of the Standing Rock Reservation, and the little old town of Isabel even gets their water pumped down in the Missouri River, down at the intake where the Cheyenne River empties into Lake Oahe. And then we had the fine city of Mobridge just here, and they also receive their water intake just north of their town from Lake Oahe. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's intake is also right close in that same vicinity. But there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides of this whole issue. The tribe is at fault, for they didn't bother to attend the pre-meetings before this hearing was set up. They didn't bother to show up. It's even right here in one of these articles that they chose not to attend the preliminary hearings with the North Dakota Public Utilities Commission. At the same time, the oil company, the oil pipeline company, didn't bother to get the permit to go under the Missouri River from the Corps. So there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides of this whole issue. And so what we've had is we've had these huge protests going on the Standing Rock Reservation, and some of them have frequented my businesses. I've had discussions with them. But what's amazing is there are a lot of folk out of Colorado and California. And so they all show up, and they haul truckloads of materials up there, and now they're all gone. But what's left behind is all the waste. And so as I read this resolution, I look at SCR 10 on page 3, line 3, where it says the legislature needs to ensure that the waters of the Missouri River forever remain pristine and free of pollutants, including those that may happen to upstream in other states. We have an environmental crisis that's just months away right now before this pipeline even gets built from all the pollutants left behind from the protest camp. We know right now in North Dakota they've had 50 inches plus of snow that they built in a floodplain. All that material left over, whether it be their garbage, the waste material, human waste, leftover cars, leftover tents, leftover blankets, they're scrambling right now to clean up this environmental mess that we sit here and we talk about before the spring runoff. And where's that all going to come? It's going to come right into South Dakota and plug the very intakes that we're trying to protect. So there's hypocrisy on both sides of this issue. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would just stand by for any other comments. So.
Okay, further discussion or action? Senator Sutton.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass on SCR 10.
Okay. Have a due pass motion by Senator Sutton, and who seconded it? Senator Heinert. Any discussion on the motion?
Substitute motion.
Okay, state your substitute motion.
I would make a motion to put
the 41st day. Okay, we have a substitute motion made by Senator Nordstrup, seconded by Senator Langer to defer SCR 10 to the 41st day. Discussion on that motion. Senator Langer.
I guess my point would be, you know, we've had a lot of good discussion, and I appreciate Senator Maher bringing the fact that there has been fault on both sides. I would say that South Dakota needs to be cognizant of the commerce and the industry that is brought to this state. We need to be energy independent, and what we need to do our part to make sure that that happens, not be dependent on foreign oil. I think this is something that we all agree we need, and we're just not necessarily agree on the process.
Okay, further discussion on the motion. Senator Heiner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would ask you to resist this substitute motion. You know, commerce is one thing. Life is another. We heard comments about the waste and the cleanup. Well, they're cleaning it up right now. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, a South Dakota tribe, has trucks, bulldozers, in cooperation with Standing Rock, and they're cleaning those campsites up. Were there people from other states and maybe even other countries up there? Sure. Were there people from my reservation up there? Sure. Were there people from Senator Killer's? Absolutely. But this hits us first. I can't stress enough how when every time we turn on a faucet in our house, that water is coming from the Missouri River. We don't have another option. It's been good discussion, and it should be heard on the Senate floor. Thank you.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Norship.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank the sponsors of this resolution. I think it is a great discussion, and a discussion that should be had. The problem is the timing. This is a discussion that should have been had years ago. I'm baffled as to how you can have the discussion after we spend $1.some billion. Do we tell that company that we were just kidding with the permits that we issued them early on in the game? And great discussion, two or three years too late. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, further discussion. Seeing none, I'm going to up Senator Sutton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. These discussions have been going on for years. I mean, this isn't the first time that we've heard about issues with pipelines and the concern about protecting our water and resources. I think it's incredibly disingenuous to assume that this is the first time this conversation has ever happened. And frankly, it's just ridiculous.
Okay. I have the privilege of voicing my comments last here before we take a vote on this. And while we're a very dependent nation on energy, one way or the other, this energy or oil is going to get moved from point A to point B. And I'm a huge proponent of protecting the water and the air and our soil. But I look at this and I weigh both sides of this issue. I think it's way safer to transport this energy in a pipeline that can be monitored with a lot of safeguards in place rather than by rail or truck. So with that said, we do have a substitute motion on SCR 10 to send to the 41st day. We're going to do a roll call vote on this. Madam Secretary, if you'll call a roll, those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay.
Senators Bolin.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Heinert.
No.
Langer.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Sutton.
No.
Netherton.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
We have 6 yes, 3 no.
Okay, the substitute motion has passed. SCR 10 will be sent to the 41st day. Do we have any further business to come before the committee today? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move
to adjourn. Okay, we have a motion by Senator Netherton, seconded by Senator Langer to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.